Hi, I'm Deborah Lindad, and I'm fussing around at the moment with technical things. Okay, this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is, I don't have that page up. It is a date. It's the 4th of August. Sometimes I've just got all this technical stuff to do, and I had to do it while I was coming. Oh, shoot. Okay, we'll get this right. All right, so it's now the 4th of August, and I know who my guests are. My guests are Ron and Lisa Barris, and they are a wonderful couple. I've known them for a long time, and they know so much about indoor air pollution. They now have become media personalities. They give webinars. They give trainings. They give consultations. They know so much about indoor air pollution. They are actually trained and certified in this area. They're building biologists. And today we're going to talk about their healthy home detox. They're about to do a program. And it's called, I have it right here, Change Your Home, Change Your Health in 30 Days. And we're going to be talking about that. I'm not usually, Ron and Lisa, I'm not usually this scattered. It's just I'm having one of those mornings. Hi, Lisa.
We all do.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, you know, sometimes you have these days where all of a sudden there's all these things that you have to get done, and then the phone rings and you have to talk to the person on the phone for a half an hour, and then it's noon and it's time for the radio show.
Right. It should be Monday, anyway, but it's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. So Lisa, so here's what's happening, listeners. Lisa and her husband Ron are both guests on the show today, but Ron can't make it until later in the show, so he's going to be joining us. In the meantime, we have Lisa, who knows everything, and she can say everything. So Lisa, why don't you start by telling us, how did you and Ron get interested in doing what you do?
Okay, well, we started this journey about over 13 years ago. Actually, I'd say it's about 15 years ago at this point. Whoa, time flies. And ironically, I was engaged to Ron about the time that this all happened. So it was a really unique time for us. I was working as an interior designer. That's what I went to college for. And yeah, I loved my job, and I really thought I was living a healthy life. And I do like to share this story because I think a lot of people can relate to it. You know, I was working out. I was a vegetarian. I shopped at Whole Foods and, you know, thought that, hey, this is it. This is the end of the story to being healthy, right?
Yeah, a lot of people think that.
A lot of people think that, and I am so happy, by the way, that you do what you do, because you bring so much awareness on a bigger scale and really educating people about such an important topic. And a lot of people really do, the buck stops there with food. They think as long as they're eating healthy, that's the end. And, you know, as you and I know, there's a whole nother segue to being healthy, and that's obviously your environment. So at that point, I had just moved in. I wanted to move closer to Ron. We were engaged. And I found this little charming beach cottage not too far from him, pretty close to the beach. And it had just been newly remodeled. So I was so excited. I mean, it had a brand new hardwood floor, brand new carpeting, fresh new coat of paint. It had a new cozy gas fireplace. It had new vinyl windows and sparkling white new thermofoil kitchen cabinets. I mean, I was in heaven. I thought that I found the best place you could possibly move into. So I was working from home at the time, and I moved in there, and suddenly, I mean, it happened really quickly for me after being there, because I was literally in this house almost 24/7. I started getting really severely sick, and I could not get out of bed in the morning. And prior to that, I'd been pretty energetic, you know, working out even sometimes twice a day, and I could not get out of bed in the morning. And then my hormones started going crazy. I literally stopped having my period for a year.
Wow.
And then, yeah, and I'll get into that in a minute. And then I was having chronic sinus issues. I was chronically fatigued, and it was just a nightmare. And this was supposed to be like the happiest time of my life. I was engaged and planning this wedding, and I just felt horrible all the time. My stomach was bloated. I was just a wreck. So I started researching and began researching. And at that time, there really wasn't the information that's available now. So I had to really dig, and I stumbled across building biology, and I started connecting the dots, and I started realizing that my symptoms were directly linked to these chemicals that are in our home. And every single thing I mentioned in the home was off-gassing chemicals that I was being exposed to in a really, you know, high dose, and I was severely having reactions to that. So as I started connecting the dots, I ended up becoming a building biologist, and I studied that for quite some time. But during this process, I was sort of little by little changing my environment. So I would start with one thing and then go to the next thing, and then, because there's a lot to this, as you know, water and then air and then bedding and all of this. And it took about a year. Oh, and in this process, I guess I forgot to mention this because this is extremely important. In this process, I visited at least a dozen doctors, and I visited everyone from acupuncturists to chiropractors to MDs to naturopaths and you name it, endocrinologists. I mean, I went to everyone and every kind of doctor because I wasn't getting the answers. So I'd go to one doctor and he'd try to load me up with prescriptions, and this doctor wanted me on this and this doctor, and I was never getting better. And no one could explain why these things were happening to me. And especially with my period, they'd say, well, you just need to be on the pill. You know, that'll fix it all. Let's just mask your symptoms with more medication, you know.
Yeah.
And I actually did do that for a year. I went because I got so desperate. I mean, I felt horrible. So I did go back on the pill for a year, and guess what? My period stopped even on the pill. So I knew something was really wrong, and as I did make the changes to my home, it literally took me about a year, but after that, my health did a complete 180. I was healthier after all of that than I was when I started.
That's my experience, too.
Is it? Yeah, it's amazing, because I didn't really know much about detoxing your body and how these chemicals could affect us, and so as I cleaned up my environment and cleaned up myself, I did detoxification through this, I literally became a different person, and Ron and I looked at each other and said, are you kidding me? We have to, you know, do something about this. We have to create a business or something where we can help other people, because people don't realize that their environments are directly affecting their health. They're just thinking about food.
Just my experience, too. As I started getting well, after I figured all this out, and I was doing this even earlier than you. I was doing this in 1978.
Wow. I wish we met during, you know, I wish we met earlier.
That's when I started. It was in 1978. And I had no information at all. And I had to, you know, there wasn't building biology then, or there wasn't me. I couldn't read my own books, you know.
You couldn't time travel to the future.
And I had to go and just, you know, sit in the library and look in industrial journals and things to find where the chemicals were. I had a clue it was the chemicals, but there was no information.
Wow.
And by the time I dug up all this information and I started removing these chemicals from my life, my home, I felt so much better. I said, I have to tell people about this because nobody was talking about it.
Right, especially then.
I had exactly the same response.
Wow, yeah, they look at you like you're crazy. I mean, definitely one doctor offered me antidepressants because I cried in her office. I was so, like, at the end of my rope with nowhere to turn, and I felt so overwhelmed. Yeah. And I literally just had a little weeping moment, nothing crazy, and she said she could prescribe me antidepressants. And that made me cry even more. I mean, I was like...
I understand.
What?
And now, listeners, listen to how vibrant and alive and energetic she is right now. I'm sure this is not how you were at the time.
No, not at all. And I don't take antidepressants. Yeah, it's crazy. And I think that, you know, Western medicine, you know, that is the underlying theme is, hey, let's just give you a pill and make everything better. And no mention of side effects and no mention of how these medications are loaded with so many other things that can cause problems. And at the end of the day, they're just masking, so they're never really curing anything anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Wow, great story. Very much like very much like a lot of other people. And aren't we fortunate that we found this out? Because I think there's a lot of people who are suffering from this and not knowing what it is. And, of course, they go to the doctor, and the doctor doesn't know what it is either. So that's why we talk about it here. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Lisa's going to tell us about some of the toxic chemicals that she found in her home and their health effects. And you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Lisa Barris. Her husband, Ron, is going to be on with us later. He's off at another appointment at the moment. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Fruit Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindat, and my guest today is Lisa Barris. She's Lisa of Run and Lisa Barris, and they are media personalities who go on TV and radio and speaking engagements and tell the world about toxic chemicals in the home and how they can make you sick and how you can get well by eliminating them from your life. So, Lisa, what are some of these toxic chemicals and what kinds of health effects do they cause for people?
Oh, boy. Okay, I wish we had more than an hour because I don't have time to list
them
all. There's so many. I want to talk about some of the ones that, you know, that are most prevalent inside of our homes and the ones that made the biggest difference for me. Well, indoor air in general, I like to call the umbrella of the home. Because basically, if you can clean up your air, you're really covering a lot of the things that fall under it. So when we talk about toxins in, like, say, flooring or carpeting or paint or bedding, well, that's all permeating into our indoor air. So if we can clean up our air, we're addressing, you know, a lot of the problem. Indoor air, oh, boy. I mean, it can have everything from biological contaminants like mold and pollen and pet dander to bacteria to chemicals. It can have flame retardants. It can have VOCs, volatile organic compounds. This is the, I know you know this, so I'm saying
yeah,
this.
Yeah, but
for the
no,
listeners.
You can help my listeners because they need to know it.
Yeah, and I do like to say this because we hear the term VOCs a lot, especially with paint, but people don't really know what that is, so I'll just give you a quick rundown.
Yeah,
so VOCs are volatile organic compounds, and at room temperature, they off-gas, which means they vaporize into the air, into a gaseous form, and we breathe in these chemicals. So a lot of times, especially in our homes, we can't smell these. We definitely can't see them, but we are, in fact, breathing them in. And that's what happened to me. I didn't know that I had all these chemicals that I was breathing in the home. And VOCs can include, you know, really dangerous chemicals, many of which are carcinogens that cause cancer. And some of the chemicals are formaldehyde, xylene and toluene, benzene, trichloroethylene, ammonia, acetone, and the list goes on and on and on. And so our homes basically are a toxic brewery. And, you know, as the green building craze happened, that was a good thing for energy efficiency.
Yes.
Saved on our electric bills. But what happened is the homes became very tightly sealed, and these chemicals really got trapped within our homes. So back in the 1970s, the average air exchange in a home was once every hour. So we were getting a new fresh exchange of air once every hour. Today, it's once every 5 hours. People aren't opening their windows, and they're definitely not purifying their air like they should. So we're literally breathing in, and these chemicals are getting circulated through our HVAC systems. So,
you know, maybe if we didn't have the whole energy thing happen so that we tightened our homes, that these chemicals might not have ever concentrated to the degree so that we would have the whole field of what's now called indoor air pollution. It wasn't called that when I started. There was no such field.
Right. None of this
just
existed.
How old I am.
I mean, I can't even imagine your journey because, yeah, I felt like doctors looked at me like I was crazy. So back, you know, in 1978, I'm sure they were, you know, like, what is this person talking about? It's nice to know that there are so many amazing doctors now that do address this. But, yeah, that's a great point. I mean, the tightening of the building envelope has definitely addressed that. But you know what else? There's so many more chemicals on the market today. Right? I mean, we're talking about over 86,000 chemicals registered for use in the products that we eat, wear, touch, furnish our homes with, and of those, less than 200 have ever been effectively tested for health. Mm-hmm. And that's according to the President's Cancer Panel. So I think people also don't realize that. They think if something's for sale at the store, then it must have been approved and gone through rigorous testing, and there you go. It's, in fact, safe for you to bring into your home. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Cleaning products, for instance, are largely unregulated. It is a multi-billion dollar industry, and they don't, by law, have to tell us what's in the product. So they can list a couple of the ingredients or none of the ingredients or all of the ingredients, and they'll often use the term fragrance to hide hundreds of chemicals. So people, you know, really need to be educated and really need to learn how to understand labels and know what to look for and what to avoid, because this is how we can get sort of trapped into bringing chemicals to our lives and our families unknowingly.
One of the things that really astonished me when I started studying this was the labeling laws are so different for different types of products. And yeah. the ones that are most toxic, cleaning products and pesticides, are not required by law to list their ingredients, but they are required to give these signal words like caution and poison and stuff like
right.
that. It was supposed yeah. to give you some degree of how toxic they are, but I many, many years ago, I read a report that said that these aren't even correctly applied. So
right.
the most toxic products we have the worst labeling and the least opportunity for us to know what's really in them. And
it's
I don't think that's
true.
Right. I think
no.
that needs to be changed.
It so needs to be changed, Deborah. I am so with you on that. And the Toxic Substance Control Act was actually formed in 1976, and this is the problem. And these 80,000 of the 86,000 or something crazy like that, maybe it was 60,000, chemicals were grandfathered in, which means they never went through any testing.
Mm-hmm.
And this law has literally not been updated since 1976. So I know so many people in the grassroots movements are trying to get this changed, but, you know, they're going up against big corporations who don't have a vested interest in doing this because they don't want you to know what chemicals are in your products. They want to put them in there and confuse you. And in fact, I know you're familiar with EWG, the Environmental
right.
Working Group. So they created their cleaners database. They have actually over 2,000 different brands of cleaning products. So for consumers and especially anybody listening who's like, I have this product, I wonder, because there's not, you know, they're not listing all the ingredients, you can actually plug in the name of your cleaning product and find out the toxicity rating. And they'll tell you how hazardous it is and what's in it. But they also created what's called the Hall of Shame. And these were the worst offenders of all in the cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you this because this blew my mind when I read it. Comet disinfectant powder, the green powder.
Yeah.
And I actually used this growing up because I had to.
Me
to
too.
Do my chores. Yeah. It's crazy. They literally found that it was caused the chemicals. It emitted 146 different chemicals in their testing.
Wow.
Some of the chemicals were thought to cause cancer, asthma, and reproductive disorders. And the most toxic chemicals that they found were formaldehyde, benzene, chloroform, and toluene. Some of those are carcinogens, and they were not listed on the label.
Wow. Wow, that's just wrong,
you know, and it's shocking, and I really want to stress that because these are name brand cleaners that people are
right.
using and trusting. And then
yeah.
Febreze Aerifex, you know, people spray this thinking they're cleaning the air. Actually, they're just contaminating their air with more chemicals.
Yeah.
That was shown to release 89 air contaminants.
Wow. We need to go to break, but we'll be right back and we'll talk more with Lisa Barris, and her husband Ron is coming up too. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Tad, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Tad, and my guest today is Lisa Barris, and also her husband Ron will be here, I think, in the last segment. And we're talking about Healthy Home Detox. Now, Lisa and Ron have a new program called Change Your Home, Change Your Health in 30 Days. And you can go to their website, and I'm going to read it to you, but it's kind of long, so you can also just go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, and I've got the link there. You can just click right through. You can go to tinyurl.com/healthyhomesignup, and you can sign up there for a free webinar, which will tell you more about, give you some information about how you can clean up your home, and you can find out about how to sign up for their Change Your Home, Change Your Health in 30 Days. And I think it's a great, Lisa, that you're doing this because I know you, and I know you're an organized person and that you have all the information. And putting it all together in a program so that people can together, you can like help each other make these changes in your life, I think is absolutely great.
Oh, thank you. You know, that was the goal, and I know you've done such a great job with your books doing that as well. And because we both were in a situation where we didn't have tools to turn to. So,
right.
You know, I thought online would be great. And we made it 30 days. You can take it as long as you want, but just kind of if you want to finish it in 30 days, you can. And it goes through 12 modules. So it goes through pretty much every room of your home, and we cover kids, how to grow healthy kids, your kitchen, how to detox your kitchen, pet, your bedding, your air, your water, so many things that obviously we aren't going to be able to cover today. And, you know, we try to make it fun because this is a really overwhelming and in-depth, intricate topic. And when we talk about our homes, there's so many elements that comprise our home. So we go through each so it's like digestible bites of information and you're not really overwhelmed and you can go at your own pace. So that's really the goal.
That's very good. Okay, so tell us some of the things that people can do. And I just want to say that Lisa mentioned earlier that they're really focused on indoor air pollution. And I think that that really is like a basic thing. I mean, you could change the water that you drink. You could change the food you eat. But you've still got this air going on 24 hours a day. And so that's like a segment of life in and of itself that you need to handle. And there's so much that's involved in it that it really is important to learn it and do it and then be healthier. So what are some of the things, give us some examples of tips that people can do or things that you're going to be talking about in your course.
Okay. Well, starting with indoor air, obviously implementing an air purification system in your home it's literally essential today. I don't even think it's negotiable. Like, you need to do that. And opening your windows is really letting your home breathe like homes used to is great. We can't always do that depending on where we live and the time of year. And now with allergies, over 60 million Americans have allergies today. So that's not always an option. That's why I'm a really big proponent of air purifiers. Now, if you're on a budget, there are air purifiers that you can buy that aren't going to break the bank. You know, there's really an air purifier in every price point. And I think generally you kind of do get what you pay for when it comes to these air purifiers. Some of them are going to filter up to 3,000 square feet. Some of them will filter just a few hundred. So at a minimum, have one in your bedroom and your kids' bedroom. Children, especially babies, definitely need to be breathing in good air. And in our program, we go through all the air purifiers and kind of break them down and tell you which ones aren't good. There's actually some on the market that produce ozone, and that can actually be more toxic to your health. So knowing what to avoid and what to look for is super important. And then, you know what, if you're on a really tight budget, then you can actually get plants, certain plants. NASA did a study and found there were 50 indoor house plants that not only produce oxygen, but actually remove chemical vapors and toxic gases from the air we breathe. And it's
fascinating. I think it's really fascinating. They do, but I don't remember the numbers offhand, but I calculated out like how many plants you would need, and it was a huge number.
It is a huge number. Yeah, to effectively clean your air, it's like one every 100 square feet. So if you have a large home, you're going to have a lot of plants. It's not going to replace your air purifier any means. Yeah, but you know these plants. What was really fascinating is each plant was different, and they removed some removed benzene, some removed formaldehyde, some removed the trichloroethylene, xylene, toluene, ammonia, and so you can kind of pick the plant based on what you need. Certain ones are better for your bathroom. Certain ones are good to have by your bed, and you know, that's great too in an office situation. If you're in a cubicle and you can't do anything about your air, you can put some plants at your desk and at least try to keep that area, you know, better, giving you good clean oxygen and also absorbing some of those chemicals that are common in an office situation.
Good. Yes, and I totally agree with all that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot we can do. Changing your furnace filter, that goes without saying. But yet so many people are not doing that.
Right.
41% of homeowners are not doing that frequently enough. And so really getting in the habit of changing all your filters, changing your air purifier, your furnace filter, your water filters. You have to get on a schedule of making sure you're doing that because you can cause more harm when these start to get backed up with bacteria and things like that if you're not changing them.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally agree. And I also think that indoor air pollution is such a big subject, and it's so critical because of these gaseous chemicals that are in the air that just go right into your body so quickly that even while you're the first thing I think people should do is get an air filter.
Because really
it takes time to handle your carpets and your bed and, you know, all these different things that you need to change in order to reduce the indoor air pollution, that just putting in an air filter right from the start you start protecting yourself right away.
Exactly. I think that's such a good point, because we talk about, you know, you want to have organic bedding and you want to have organic sheets and you want to do all these great expensive investments. But if you've got that air purifier that's absorbing some of those VOCs and formaldehyde,
right,
off that, you know, you can actually kind of wait and sort of stagger these projects. You're probably familiar with this study that they did in the Journal of Environmental Science and Technology, where they found the average home had 400 chemicals. Some of the chemicals were toxic, some were untested. And so this is just what's going on in America across, you know, our
homes. It is. We just need to. I know it sounds fantastic or unbelievable to some people, because you look around and you go, well, you know, I don't see anything. And you
right.
say, I'm not sick. But the thing mm-hmm. that's so key about this is it's not about getting sick like being exposed to bacteria and getting a cold.
Mm-hmm.
These are chronic exposure chemicals. It's like you can smoke cigarettes and not be sick and then suddenly get cancer. It's that
right.
kind of chemical where they build up in your body, and as they build up and build up and build up, then somewhere down the road you're going to get an illness that's
the
really
trigger.
A major illness. And
right.
and it's changing your DNA. It's, you know, it's all this stuff and you can't see it, but it's there, and then one day you get sick.
Right. That goes back to, you mentioned the labels on the cleaning products, the warning,
right.
the danger, and the caution. Well, those are literally there just for the acute symptoms. That's
right.
like, you know, is the chemical going to burn your skin instantly, or are you going to have a reaction right away? But nobody labels products about the long-term health effects.
No,
these
they
are
don't
just
label
short-term.
Them at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. We need to go to break, but when we come back, I'm hoping Ron will be there with you.
Oh, yes, he'll be here.
Okay, good. So you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad. My guests today are Ron and Lisa Barris, and you can go to their website, tinyurl.com/healthyhomesignup, and get more information about their program. Change your home, change your health in 30 days. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guests today are Ron and Lisa Barris. They are healthy home experts, building biologists, published authors, professional speakers, and Telly Award-winning media personalities. And we're going to be – actually, we have an interesting topic here. So is Ron there now?
Yes.
I am here, Deborah. Yeah, thank you for that intro. That was very nice.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. It's nice to have both of you on. So, Ron, I don't know if Lisa told you, but we have a special topic for the two of you to discuss together.
Okay, well.
I did. I filled him in.
Okay. So, listen, what we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about now is about husbands and wives and toxic chemicals, because I hear a lot from women, especially, I want to clean up my house, but my husband doesn't believe me. My husband doesn't care about this. My husband thinks it's all in my head. And so I want Lisa and Ron to talk about how they're working together as a team to have a healthy home and to be supporting each other in reducing your toxic chemical exposure. So I'll let you guys decide where you're going to start.
I'll jump in since
sure.
I know you've been speaking here. And I do want to say I was not that husband, but I was that fiance. I absolutely did not. I did not really know what was going on. And I have to say I came from a very, like, traditional background, worked in corporate America. I met the girl of my dreams who's, you know, Lisa on the phone right now. And so we were very excited. We just started our relationship. She moved into a home that was really nearby where I lived. And that's where things got a little bit weird. And, you know, I have to admit, I did not see what I see now. You know, my mm-hmm. eyes were wide shut, quite frankly, because through Lisa's experience, she was feeling chronically fatigued. And I think you guys went over this earlier.
We did.
Yeah, and so it wasn't that I didn't believe Lisa, but it was frustrating because I wouldn't see or feel this or hear this. And I really was that guy initially. But through the process of just, as Lisa was discovering things and she was getting better and then things were making sense to me, I really changed my path there. And I can tell you, it does happen. So there usually will be a skeptical spouse at first because, let's face it, they can't physically see what is going on.
Right.
And it's multi-layered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, particularly if you're, you know, there's a lot of things that can be bombarding you that are affecting your health. And in Lisa's case, that was definitely true from, you know, you mentioned the air quality. I'll tell you a funny story. Our first few months of dating, one of the first things Lisa wanted, because she just moved into her home, was an air purifier. She started to read, like,
for my birthday, yeah.
For her birthday.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is, you know, which is great. It's not as, it could have been more expensive than that. So we got her an air purifier. But
not a very romantic gift.
Yeah. first year relationship. So, and needless to say, it's been quite a journey. And even some of the initial literature and things that Lisa was reading to better educate herself and before we became building biologists, I mean, I didn't really accept it at first. And ultimately, I'm living and breathing it now. And, you know, we were so inspired by how Lisa turned around with her health that at that time, you know, we wanted to go to the rooftops and just preach and shout, hey, this is what happened. This is so great. And especially me, too, because I didn't initially know what was going on. So we made it our mission to go out there and educate people. And I know you've been doing this for a long time, too, Deborah, and it's great to speak to you again. We always admire the great work that you do.
Thank you.
And so, you know, we did books and CDs and speaking engagements. We even had a retail business. And so we really just absorbed ourselves in being the best we can be to not only help us, but other people. And fast forward to today, we are now working together in a business that is focused on healthy living. And it's awesome. It's great. You know, we have learned through the years, and Lisa, you can attest to this, I don't want to totally hog the conversation here, but how to work together effectively. And so after we're both partners here, I think the key to really working together effectively is to make sure that, you know, someone's kind of heading a particular project or someone takes a leadership role in something else, and the other person has a leadership role in another area. And then it kind of blends together and gives someone that veto power, and everyone feels kind of comfortable, but it does take a little time to get there.
I totally agree with that, because I know in my relationship, if he has, if he's in charge of something like the garden, for example, and I'm in charge of something else like the home, then each of us gets to be in the leadership position, and instead of just having one pure person be the dominant thing, and then we trust each other and we help each other, and everything gets done because we share that we're both leaders, and I think that makes a huge difference in a relationship.
Yeah. I really do, and trusting each other, and, you know, we all have different talents, too, so honoring the talents that each person has and letting them really bring that to the table and shine. And I think that trust factor goes back to really even anyone listening who is going through a situation where they're sick and their spouse doesn't believe it, which is usually the woman, right? It's usually the woman sick and the husband doesn't believe it, because women we have more body fat, we store toxins more, we're more susceptible to these things. Plus, we're in the home more, as a general rule of thumb. And really trusting that, because Ron went with me to these doctor visits and had to hear the doctors say, we don't know, we believe you're having these issues, but we can't find the problem. And so that makes you feel insecure when you're going through it. And Ron really stood by me and, you know, really stood by and said, no, you know, we're going to figure this out. And I think as a spouse, you really need to do that. You need to have, like, ultimate faith in that what your spouse is saying. We just did the Dr. Oz show, actually, a couple months ago. Same exact situation. They had mold in the home, and the wife and the daughter were the ones with the most severe reactions. And the husband was like, he was really skeptical. You know, he didn't believe it. And it causes divorce. I mean, especially mold.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so this can really destroy a relationship. So you really have to trust your partner, and not even your partner, any of your family members, and just believe that what they're saying is true and really stand by them, because they need support.
Absolutely.
You know, they do. They absolutely do. Many years ago, I was engaged to a man that I didn't marry. And this was when I was first learning about all of these things. And I would go to his apartment. It was an apartment in a renovated big old house. And so it had a lot of toxic things, and especially the heater was a freestanding heater with an open flame. You could see the flame burning.
Oh, and, right.
Excuse me. And so I didn't know what all the toxic chemicals were then, and so I would go there, and I would get sick, and I would get upset, and we would argue, and we would, and none of these things would happen when we weren't in the apartment.
Interesting.
And so finally, we broke up, and several years later, he found me. And he said, I have to tell you that you were right all along about the apartment making us sick. Because I kept saying, there must be something going on in the apartment. And and he said, because he got much sicker after that.
After, it took him longer.
After, yeah. And, and this was before I knew anything. I mean, this was, I'll tell you something, because this is so horrible. It was the bathroom, they had put in a shower where they had just made a frame, and then they had cemented the walls of the shower, and they didn't put any tile. They painted it, and it was very small. And so every time I would take a shower, I'd get paint chips all over my body. So finally, day, I said, I'm going to take all this paint off. And I took very toxic paint stripper, just, you know, the most toxic paint stripper.
Right.
I took off all my clothes and I got in the shower, this little tiny shower that you barely stand in. No ventilation, and I've got toxic straight paint stripper. I put it all over the walls to loosen up the paint, and then I'm standing there with a razor blade scraping it off in this little box full of toxic fumes.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And, you know, people do this all the time.
Oh, they do it all the time, all the time.
But it's, now I know. I mean, I look at things that I used to do, and I'm just horrified. I'm just
And, you know, it's amazing, like you said earlier, like, you know, you did, I don't know if you had exposure or symptoms at that time, and maybe you did, maybe you didn't, and I have similar stories where there was a lot of toxic exposure where maybe you didn't get a symptom at that time, but, you know, this is about the long-term symptoms, so because you used a product that was toxic and you didn't have any symptoms doesn't mean it didn't affect your body.
Right, that's exactly right. That's what makes this so difficult, and over the years I've really found that what I need to do is objectively look at the data and say, this causes cancer, this causes this, this causes that, and these are the chemicals I'm not going to have in my life, because I get the idea, I understand it, that it's these chronic exposures that build up and build up and build up, and that's why it's so difficult to say this chemical led to this symptom.
Yeah, it's so hard to pinpoint. And that's why it's so hard for people to say out of sight, out of mind. You know, you know, I know that has a carcinogen in it, but whatever, you know, they'll use it anyway. And, you know, from cosmetics to cleaning to home products, that you name it. And, you know, this is just, I guess we can't emphasize it enough. Even pregnant women, you'll see pregnant women remodeling their nurseries and, my goodness, babies today being born with 287 chemicals already in their blood. So, like, we even had an advantage over that. You know, we came in, I'm sure, with less chemicals. How about this new generation that's already coming in with so many chemicals? How soon are they going to have the effects of exposures?
Well, we see already that that people are getting illnesses that they didn't used to get until they were 60. They're now getting when they're 30.
Yeah.
And, so it's just, anyway, we've only got about 20 seconds left. So I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show, and I'm so excited about the work that you're doing. Again, listeners, you can go to tinyurl.com/healthyhomesignup to find out more about their new program, which is Change Your Home, Change Your Health in 30 Days. Thanks, Ron and Lisa. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you.